Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we ask you to circumcise our hearts and cut away the things that don't please you and unite our hearts to fear thy name. Lord, we announce even now that we have no ability outside of that grace that you give us today. Lord, we ask you to multiply your grace in our hearts as the word says that we are to pray. Lord, increase that grace, that influence, that divine ability in our hearts, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let our hearts be established with your grace. Let your grace be multiplied in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are by the grace of God, and everything that we have is from thee, O Lord. And we ask you to bless us as we choose to delight in thee, O God. And then you're going to transform our hearts and give us the desires of our hearts, which will be according to your perfect will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Why? Because the wicked has no intention of repenting. When a righteous man stumbles and or falls, those come in successions. In succession, I should say, James 1:13-15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's when a person allows something to fester right in their hearts and minds without dealing with it. The sooner we deal with it, the better. So let no man say when he is tempted, temptation is not a sin. We're all going to be tempted. Jesus himself, our perfect Redeemer, was tempted in all ways, the Bible says in Hebrews, that we're tempted. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he, and that's a choice, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's in stages. First you're tempted, and then you are drawn away of your own lust, instead of saying, nope, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not going that way. Now, we all have to choose to do that. I'm not going to beat anybody on the head except myself. We all have to make the choice. But as for me, and you guys may want to testify here, I have found that going the way of sin never results in anything good. The wages of sin is still death, and as has been wisely observed, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and charge you more than you want to pay. So we see here that as we allow any temptation to continue to fester, or to, what do they say about Satan making a nest in your mind, because you're allowing yourself to be drawn away with temptation, which always leads to what? When it is finished, bringeth forth death. That means separation from God. So that puts a nail in the coffin of dying in sin and still going to heaven. You're not. You died separated from God. And how do we back up and take a look at how sin manifests in our life? Well, it's all right here in James 1:13-15. First of all, God's not tempting us. Somebody says, well, God knows he made it and he's okay with me doing it, whatever that might be. No, God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. And you can't blame that on God. But every man, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. His own lust. That's the heart, the lust in the heart. Instead of crucifying it and saying, Lord, take this away. Lord, I am crucified with Christ. Go into the cross, the word. Lord, you must increase, I must decrease. I love you. I praise you. You might just need to get up out of your chair and start raising your hands and praising God and shouting to the Lord and quoting scripture and nourishing your heart afresh, fighting the good fight of faith. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. You got to stop that temptation.
Most importantly, by the crucified life. And on an immediate basis, you can stop it
dead in its tracks, or it's going to end up in death. Y'all see that here?
Jesus says,
watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so, again, right there, that's Matthew 26:41. Watching and praying because the flesh is weak. And you're going to be tempted. That's not a sin. But what do we do with the temptation? The quicker we stop it and go, whoa, no, I'm not going down that road anymore. And we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, all born-again believers. And we've also tasted and seen the bitterness of sin. The Bible speaks of entering into sin and then it becoming like gravel in your mouth. I believe it's Proverbs 20:17. Once you partake of it, it brings forth death or spiritual separation from the Lord. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And we all know Satan isn't going to go, well, this feels good, do it. But just remember, you're not going to really reap anything good out of this. It's going to hurt you. No, Satan's not going to tell you that. He's not
going to remind you of the consequences of sin.
But the Holy Spirit and you and I must remind ourselves of the consequences of sin. We're talking about how a just man, when he falls or if he falls, the Bible doesn't say when you sin. It says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:2. We don't have to sin. We choose to sin. And yet it's the just man who shakes his head, like we can think of the patriarchs, maybe like Samson. We can see in the ups and downs of his life. He finished strong though, didn't he, saints? In Hebrews 11, Samson shows up. Somebody said, well, I don't know if he's in heaven. Well, it doesn't matter what you think because the Bible says he's in heaven. It brings him up as one of the heroes of the faith. If you made Hebrews chapter 11, you're zinging. You're sure you're in heaven. You're already there. Hebrews 11:32 mentions the name of Samson as one of the heroes of the faith. I don't know about you. That's exciting to me. He got caught up in lust. He kept lusting after women that he saw. When the Bible says to not lust after her beauty with thine heart or in thine eyes, right? In Proverbs.
Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life.
And he told his parents one time to go get that woman. He wanted her.
The life of Samson, Judges chapter 13 through chapter 16. Check it out.
So he was walking in the lust of the flesh. So he had an up and down life in the Lord, but he ended strong. He brought down the enemy in his last feat, F-E-A-T, as he died. And now we know from Hebrews 11:32 that he is in glory. What a blessing. Now, this is no license or insinuation that it's okay or it's God's will to be up and down in the Christian life or to make any excuse for sin, because that's never going to bring forth anything good now or in eternity. And sin is an offense against the holy God who said, be holy for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. Now, looking at the Apostle Paul and how he finished can also be an answer to that. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. So the Holy Spirit was showing Paul that his time on earth was going to be short from that point that he wrote this. I have fought a good fight. Paul was able to look back on his brief life, which is the same for all of us in this world. And he said, I have fought a good fight. Wow, what a blessing. If you're not swinging, you're losing. You're going to take one on the jaw if you're not swinging, right? Paul uses boxing in 1 Corinthians 16 as a spiritual illustration. He said that we're to not be those who beat the air. You got to land that fist on the target, not just throw it out in the air. Unless it's connecting with the enemy and knocking him out of your life, then it's not doing you any good. And right after that, in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul brings in the cross, which is the ultimate expression of overcoming the enemy. He said that he had to keep under. He had to be crucified perpetually. Keep under my body, he said, lest by any means I myself should become a castaway or ultimately die in sin. The only way to overcome sin is through the crucified life and be a castaway or departed from the Lord, told to depart from me, you worker of iniquity. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where you'll find these verses on the boxing illustration and the crucified life, which Jesus requires for anyone who's going to follow him. Luke 9:23-24. So Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Paul was tagging the enemy. He was landing punches. So when we must war according to the word of God. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, as we are blessed to be crucified with Christ and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge or the word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is through the crucified life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5. And might I add, saints, to be careful, because most of the people who teach on this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5, about the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, etc., are teaching it as if you, through your own self-will and mental gymnastics, can overcome the iniquitous nature that is throwing and manufacturing evil thoughts in your heart and mind. Now, you can overcome that in the flesh, and you can't. The whole context of everything that the Apostle Paul is teaching is only going to be possible and is in the cross economy. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20. And also Romans 6, the whole chapter. How about verse 7? He that is dead is freed from sin. Dead means crucified with Christ. Okay, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And think with me for a moment about 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, two chapters over from here, when Paul is speaking of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not being entangled with the affairs of this life, verse 4, 2 Timothy 2, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned or successful, except he strive lawfully. And that would include landing shots on the enemy's jaw by overcoming the temptations. I have fought a good fight. That would mean the stewardship of his heart was glorifying to God. We want to go win battles out there. We want to win a city to Jesus. And these aren't bad things, but sometimes they can be misguided if we aren't taking care of the home front. If we don't conquer our own vessel, if you will, temple, the sin that would reign in our own temple without the cross, that's what's going to happen. Then we're going to be unsuccessful. We're not going to be able to look back and say, I have fought a good fight. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. How do you do that? By the crucified life. And obedience to Christ through the crucified life, the cross life, is the only way that you're going to be able to say in your last days on this planet that you have fought a good fight, that you have finished the course, your course, and you have kept the faith. And the only way to do that is to do everything according to the word of God, which in 2 Timothy 2, right here in the same book, talks about no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for masteries, if you strive to be able to say what Paul said two chapters later, that he had fought a good fight, finished his course, kept the faith, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully or according to the rules, according to the word of God, which requires, he mandates an essential, and that's to be crucified with Christ. Anyone that is sitting under a Bible teacher, supposedly, who's not teaching the crucified life, is deceiving himself into thinking that he's sitting under a man of God. Beware, saints, any man not teaching the cardinal doctrine of the crucified life is a false teacher. In fact, think about the fact that Paul said that if he didn't live a crucified life, 1 Corinthians 9:27, if he didn't keep under his body, that's talking about the crucified life, that he was going to be a castaway in the end. And that is the opposite of finishing your course, keeping the faith, and fighting a good fight. So in 1 Corinthians 9:27, after Paul says that he had to keep under or keep crucified his body, then he says, lest by any means after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that simply means castaway, depart from me in the end, because you didn't exercise the God-given ability to master the flesh, to crucify it, which he commanded us to do. That's what Jesus said up front, repent. And then he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. There's no way I can expect, or any of us, to have the victory, the resurrection victory. God always answers death and burial with resurrection life. That resurrection comes as we resign ourselves to be crucified with Christ. As long as I'm going downward, as long as you're going downward in the death and burial of Christ, surrendering daily, according to the scripture, the cross economy of the Lord, he's going to be raising you up into victory, and nothing can stop that victory, because that's God's answer to your obedience to him in being dead and buried. That's the only way we can be victorious. That's the only way. Now, we're listening to the words of a man who said, I have fought a good fight. Now, he also previously said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I am dead and buried, and I live to the glory of my King, who came and died on the cross, was buried, and raised again from the dead to save me into his eternal kingdom. And I owe all to him, he's saying here. I have fought a good fight. The only way to fight a good fight is to be crucified with Christ. The quicker you and I acknowledge that there will be no victory, there will be defeat, if I'm not crucified with Christ today, when your mind starts connecting those dots and going, you know what? The only reason why I'm struggling with sin is because I need to just put my foot down, raise my hands afresh, and say, Lord, I thank you that I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3, and Romans 6, reading that every morning and understanding that it's only he that is dead that is freed from sin, Romans 6:7. The only reason why I'm not free from sin and I'm starting to get entangled with this lust for something in the world is what? Here we go. Lord, I mean, you get into prayer. You move right into spiritual warfare. The greatest spiritual warfare scripture in the Bible, in my estimation, is James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, I did that last week. Oh, really? How about doing it now again? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's the victory right there. We freshly submit ourselves to God. We raise our hand and our heart. We begin to thank the Lord for everything he's given us and everything he's delivered us from, and how he came and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, was buried and raised again from the dead, and is coming back soon. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. That means repent afresh. In the Old Testament, we see the word return. Turn again to the Lord. Return. When you see R-E, that always means what? Do it again. Return. Turn afresh to the Lord and confess your sins. Let him wash them all away and give you times of refreshing in his presence. And then stay dead and buried. That's what Paul said. I keep, it's an ongoing tense. I keep perpetually under my body, that is through the crucified life, and bring it into subjection. You're either taking control of the flesh through the crucified life, or it's controlling you, one or the other. You're either controlling your thoughts, or they're controlling you. You're either controlling your money, or it's controlling you. And that means it's out of control, and it's getting away from you, and it's destroying you. 1 Corinthians, in the same passage, the apostle says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let me read that again, and I want to exhort you before we pray here, everyone listening, to memorize this Bible verse. When a verse and a truth becomes real to us is when we memorize it, so we can meditate upon it. We can put it into action. Let thine heart retain, memorize my word. Proverbs 4, verse 4. Again, 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The most vulnerable times in our lives are going to be when a victory happens from God. We begin to gloat. That's when the pride can seep in. When we begin to attribute any of the goodness or the success to ourselves. And that is the nature of that evil, what the Bible calls iniquitous flesh nature. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let me say it again, 1 Corinthians 10, 12. If you just say a verse long enough out loud, and I encourage you to memorize the reference so that you can be a good steward of God's word and put it forth and send people to read it. Text it to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Email it. Share it in person. Check out 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We know the flesh is weak. Jesus said the flesh is weak. And how do you overcome that? Same verse, Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray. That means be ever vigilant before the Lord, staying before him, expecting, which means waiting upon him. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, what does that tell us? If you're not watching and praying, what are you going to enter into? Temptation, and you're going to sin, right? James 1, 13 through 15, we just read it, that when you're tempted, if you don't crucify the lust, you begin to dabble with that sin, and you're enticed, and you fall into it, and it brings death. That's always the fruit that it brings. When you see weeds in your garden outside, what are you going to do? Let them fester? No, you're going to grab that thing and pluck it out by the root, because then it's going to pollute, it's going to make your garden ugly and everything else. Just go right for it and pluck it out. That's the same thing with lust. So watching and praying, being sober, being vigilant, because your adversary, the devil,
as a roaring lion,
walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So the way you are going to prevent yourself from entering into temptation is to watch and pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1 and 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And here he's saying, watch and pray. Why? So that you won't enter into temptation. What does that mean? That means if you're not watching and praying, you're not seeking the Lord and his strength and seeking his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, you're going to enter into temptation. You are no match, and neither am I, none of us, to temptation, and every one of us adults knows that. So how do you overcome it? Jesus says right here, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So understanding that the flesh is weak, we then realize that it needs to be crucified, and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what happens when we watch and pray. Jude, verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But ye, beloved, building up What happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? You're doing what? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Be invigorated. Be filled afresh with the Holy Ghost by doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. And by doing so, Jude verse 20, you're building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Heavenly Father, we ask you to make these words real to each of our hearts and to prick our hearts, Lord, and cause there to be a great conviction any time a temptation is pursuing us or that is rising up in us, Lord, that we would be reminded of your word and fight the good fight of faith, submit ourselves afresh to you, to seek your face, Lord, continually.
To die downward.
Do your work in us, God, in Jesus' name, and be glorified in these vessels as we look for your soon return, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.